Some of us know Pastor Lumide Emmanuel. Pastor Lumide Emmanuel is a household name. He's a general overseer of Calvary Bible Church with headquarters in Nigeria. But very soon, as early as next week, by the grace of God, they're having an international headquarters in Houston, in Jesus' name. He's a man, he's a businessman, kingdom businessman. He's sold out to the Lord. He's somebody I like to hang out with, and you might ask me why. You know, if you have friends that can't point to you, then you probably need to change those friends. You need friends that you mingle with, that they stimulate your mind, wake up your spiritual senses, and enable you to also have a better insight into what you already know. And that's the kind of person he is. He's a blessing. It's been a blessing to me. Each time we fellowship together, I enjoy fellowshipping with him. I have friends that also I like to fellowship with, but not every friend is on the same gradient and level. I'm not trying to blow trumpet for him, but the hand of God is upon his life. He's a blessed man, and he's also a blessing. I want us with a Wisdom Assembly welcome. Welcome, Pastor Lumide Emmanuel, to Wisdom Assembly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's put those hands together for Jesus. Let's celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. Let's honor him. Let's adore him. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be in the house to share with my brother. Let's put hands together and celebrate my brother and his wife and the family. I want to thank God for his life and for the ministry. Praise God. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you all. And I believe very strongly that somebody under the sound of my voice will share a major testimony very soon. If you are that person, can I hear your big amen? Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and just look at verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Just one verse of scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Spirit of the living God, we thank you because you are in the house. Father, we thank you because you are faithful. Jesus, we thank you for the price that you paid. On this resurrection morning, we want to come in honor of you for the things that you have done and for the things that you are going to do. Lord, this morning the book has been opened already. Lord, we ask that you will open a new chapter in our lives. Lord, I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl under the sound of my voice that no one is permitted to remain the same. Lord, let testimonies flow. Let your power flow. Let your glory flow. Let things turn around in the lives of your people. Thank you for that man who is about to share a major testimony. Thank you for that woman who is about to share a major testimony. Thank you for that family whose story is about to change. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the saints of God shout a big amen. I can't hear your amen. People of God, this is Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection morning, and I want to talk to you about the resurrection power. Somebody said the resurrection power. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11, the Bible says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives and abides in you, that same spirit will quicken your mortal bodies. People of God, is talking about the same spirit, not another spirit, the same spirit. So the Bible is telling us that there was a spirit that went into Jesus that brought him back from the dead. And that same spirit, if it's in us, has the ability to do some great things on the inside of our lives. You and I know that we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday today because before Jesus came, many people died, and when they died, they were buried. But when they were buried, that was the end of the story. And then here comes a man by the name of Jesus, and then he lived and he died, and when he died, he was buried. But when he was buried, the world was about to experience what they had never experienced before. The man that was buried came back to life 3 days after. Now when you look all through the Bible, you'll find out that even in the ministry of Jesus, everyone that died, but some people were brought back to life because Jesus intervened in their situation. But when Jesus died, unlike Lazarus that Jesus had to pray for, unlike Jairus' daughter that Jesus had to pray for, unlike the son of the widow of Nain that Jesus had to pray for, when Jesus died, nobody prayed for him to come back to life. The Bible says, when he was buried, they closed the file, they closed the coffin, they closed the grave, they rolled the stone on the place where he was buried. As far as they were concerned, the case was closed. So no one was going there to pray for him to come back to life. But the Bible here makes us to understand that there was a spirit. Somebody say a spirit. There was a spirit. It's called the spirit of a living God. That spirit went into the tomb. That spirit went into the body of Jesus. And the Bible says that that spirit brought him back to life. So the Bible here in Romans chapter 8 is now helping us to understand that Jesus did not come back to life by the prayer of somebody else. Jesus did not come back to life because someone conducted a healing service or a miracle service upon his body. He came back to life because a spirit went onto the inside of him and brought him back to life. And the Bible is now telling us that if that same spirit, not another one, that same spirit that brought Jesus back from the dead, if that same spirit lives on the inside of you, that same spirit has the ability to quicken your mortal bodies and bring back to life everything that is dead. I'm happy to announce to you in the name that is above every name that in this resurrection morning, whatever is dead that needs to be alive, it's coming alive again. I say it's coming alive again. Somebody's marriage is coming alive again. Somebody's health is coming alive again. Somebody's finances is coming alive again. Somebody's about to experience resurrection power. If you're that person, can I hear a big amen? People of God, when you look all through the Bible, you will find out that this spirit that is called the spirit of a living God, this spirit that is having the ability to bring Jesus back to life, this spirit of God has been doing the same kind of work from the beginning of creation. You see, so the resurrection power that we're talking about this morning, we are talking about it with reference to resurrection, but that power has been in existence from the very beginning. When you study your Bible very well, you'll find out that in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon the face of the water. And God said, now listen to me, when God said, let there be light, there was light. So everything that God said, God saw. God saw everything he said, but if you say and expect to see, you may get into trouble, because the Bible says, and the Spirit moved over the face of the water. So before God ever spoke, the Spirit moved. So if you speak when the Spirit has not moved, you will not see what you say. But when the Spirit moves and you speak, after the Spirit has moved, you will see what you say. What Spirit? The same Spirit. This resurrection power, this same Spirit of God has the ability to move over a situation and cause there to be a turnaround. In the name that is above every name, every situation, every circumstance in your life that requires the move of God, I declare, let the Spirit move this morning. Let the Spirit of God move over that situation in the name of Jesus. And everything that you declare concerning that situation, you will see it happen in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout the Lord, I've got the power. I can't hear you shout the Lord, I've got the power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I speak by that power, I will see what I say. Now somebody open your mouth and tell yourself, I'm blessed. I can't hear you shout the Lord, I'm blessed. And you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. People of God, that Spirit is so powerful. And it's on the inside of you. Somebody says, it's on the inside of me. You see, when we talk about the Spirit of God, many of us do not understand the power that we carry. We carry a power. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. But how is he going to do it? He said, according to the power that is at work on the inside of you. See, that power is not going to come. That power is not on its way. That power is already on the inside of you. But when you don't understand the power that you carry, you're going to move around looking for what is not lost. You're going to look around wondering, when will my story change? When that which has the ability to change your story is already on the inside of you. Somebody say, I've got the power. I can't hear you shout the Lord, I've got the power. In Micah chapter 7 and verse number 8, I love that power of the scripture. Mark chapter 7 verse 8, it says, rejoice not over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I will rise again. The word will rise again there is the word anastasis. It simply means that there is something on the inside of me that does not require my involvement in order for it to function. It says, when I fall, I will rise again, because there is something inside me that has the ability to ignite and propel me to rise again. What's that thing on the inside? It's the resurrection power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm happy to announce to you that everyone that have been looking at you, expecting you to fall, expecting you to fail, God is about to disgrace them with your rising. Oh, like the phoenix, you are rising. You are rising out of the dust. You are rising out of the ashes. You are rising out of that limitation, because the power of the Holy Spirit will make you rise. Somebody shout, I've got the power. I can't hear you say, I've got the power. Genesis chapter 17, we see that power at work. Abraham was called of God out of the awe of the Chaldees. In Genesis chapter 12, God said, come out of your father's house. Come out of your kindred. Come, I'm taking you on a journey of the covenant. I'm taking you to a place. And Abraham began to walk with God. But people of God, God told him he's going to do some great things in his life. 10 years later, the miracle did not happen. 20 years later, the miracle did not happen. When Abraham was 99 years old, someone said 99. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Bible says he was sitting down in Genesis 17, and all of a sudden he saw some people coming, and he said, oh, these are visitors. We've got to be hospitable. Let's do what we can to take care of these guys. And the Bible says that Abraham invited them into his house, and Abraham said, you know what? Get the fatted cow. Let's sow a seed. Let's connect to this great anointing. Let's bless this man of God. And they began to do some stuff, and the Bible says that as God was enjoying the blessings and the honor and the hospitality of Abraham, God said to Abraham, you know what? By this time next year, your wife Sarah will have a child. Now the Bible says Abraham laughed and Sarah also laughed. When Sarah laughed, God said, excuse me, why are you laughing? He said, I didn't laugh. You know why she was laughing? She was laughing because Abraham was 99 years old, and she was older, and she was wondering, does this man know what he's talking about? How can an old man of 99 be able to function and produce a baby? How can a woman be able to function. But you see, what they don't understand is the fact that the man that they were talking to has a power that is called the resurrection power. Sarah was probably thinking, you know what? I've caused menopause already. I've gone through menopause. There's no way I will ever have a child. That was why she gave Hagar to Abraham, because as far as she was concerned, the promise of God was to come through Hagar and not through me. But people of God, when she went through menopause, she was right. It was menopause. It was pause, not a stop. It was not menostop. It was menopause. Because whatever you pause, you can unpause. In the name that is above every name, I unpause everything that the enemy has paused in your life. In the name of Jesus, by the resurrection power of God, I open that file again. I open that chapter again. I open that door again. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout, I've got the power. As far as she was concerned, Abraham was 99 years old. How can a 99-year-old man in the days without Viagra, how can a 99-year-old man be able to perform? But what they did not understand is what Jesus was later to reveal to us in John chapter 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to me. Without a Viagra, there is a resurrection. When the resurrection power of God comes upon your life, what has not been standing will stand. What has not been working will work. I don't care what the doctors told you. They told you you have fibroid. They told you you have a low sperm count. They told you you have erectile dysfunction. But I came by the Spirit of God to declare in the name that is above every name, that by the resurrection power of God, you will rise again. I say you will rise again. I say you will rise again. Somebody shouting that I've got the power. I can hear you shouting that I've got the power. So that resurrection power has been there all through scripture. When you go to Numbers chapter 17, you will see that power at work again. In Numbers chapter 17, oh my God, people began to contend against the authority of God upon the life of Aaron and upon the life of Moses. Now listen to me. We may be age mates, but we are not grace mates. You need to understand that we went to the same school does not mean we carry the same grace. That we went to the same college does not mean we carry the same grace. As far as they were concerned, Aaron, who is Aaron? And they began to contend. I know Aaron. I know when he was born. I know the school he went to. I was even more brilliant than him. I got a better result than him. But what they did not understand is that when grace comes upon the life of a man, grace changes the equation. When grace comes upon the life of a man, grace turns things around. And God said, you think you've got power? You think you can stand by Joshua, by Aaron? Okay, let's test it. I want everybody, bring your rod. I'm going to say your rod. I want you to bring your rod of authority. I want you to put it on the altar. And I want everyone to go back and sleep. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, we're going to find out who has the power and who carries the grace. The Bible says the next morning, when they came, listen to me, it was a rod, a dead wood. When they put the dead wood on the altar, by the time they woke up the next morning, the Bible says the rod of Aaron has already budded. You know what that means? When the resurrection power of God comes upon a dead business, the business comes alive. When it comes upon a dead womb, the womb comes alive. When it comes upon a dead mind, the mind comes alive. Whatever has been contending with the power of God in your life, whatever has been contending with the grace of God in your life, God is about to disgrace them. I say God is about to silence them. I say God is about to disgrace them. I say God is about to silence them. Somebody shout, I've got the power. Shout it loud, I've got the power. So the rod of Aaron budded. Somebody say, budded. I want that chance to say, the rod of Aaron blossom. Somebody say, blossom. Your career is about to blossom. Your marriage is about to blossom. Your health is about to blossom. Your finance is about to blossom. Your ministry is about to blossom. Your dream is about to blossom. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shouted, I've got the power. In Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth experienced that power. Now, when you study your Bible, you'll find that in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says that the angel of God came to Mary and said, Mary, do you know what? Something is happening in your life that you do not understand. He said, Mary, you are going to give birth to a child. You're going to become pregnant. And when you get pregnant, a special baby is going to come out of you. And when they told Mary that, Mary said, how can this thing be? Saying, I know not a man. As far as she was concerned, how is it going to happen that a woman will be pregnant without intercourse? Because it has never happened before. Let me tell you something. Everything starts one day. What has never happened before, there is a day it will start. Why can't it start with you? In the name that is above every name, what you have never experienced before, what people in your family have never experienced before, you are about to be the first timer. You are about to be the pioneer in the name of Jesus. I can hear your amen. Somebody shout, I've got the power. I've got the power. So Mary said, how can this thing be? How will it ever happen? And the angel gave her an answer. He said, let me tell you how it's going to happen. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Spirit of the Lord will make it happen. What Spirit? The same resurrection power, the same Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead. It's been at work. If you did not recognize it, it's about to happen in your life. He said, that same Spirit is what will make it happen. And then I love this part. It's a Mary peradventure. You are still doubting it. Let me help you understand. If you doubt it, it's to your loss. Because what you doubt, other people are already experiencing. It's a Mary, let me tell you something. Your cousin, Elizabeth, the one that they called barren, she experienced this power 6 months ago. She's already 6 months pregnant. So if you doubt it, it's your problem. Somebody else have experienced. Experience it in the name that is above every name. I come against doubt. I come against fear. I come against unbelief. In the name of Jesus, everything that God has declared concerning you, it will come to pass. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout, I've got the power. I can't say, I've got the power. So people of God, do you know what happened? When the angel spoke to Mary, Mary said, I concur. Be it unto me according to your word. And Mary became pregnant. But you know what I love? She said, now that I'm pregnant, I need to verify what the angel said. Let me go visit Elizabeth. I want to go see Elizabeth, but listen to me. By the time she got to Elizabeth, what had happened was that Elizabeth got a confirmation that she was pregnant. But don't forget, there were no medical doctors. There were no scanners. There was no way she could have done a scan. And for months, Elizabeth did not feel anything. At the point, she was wondering, am I still pregnant? Am I still carrying the miracle? Will the word of God still come to pass? But when you are doubting whether it will come to pass or not, God will use your story to encourage somebody else. And we use their story to encourage you. So while she was still wondering whether the baby is there or not, here comes Mary. Somebody say, Mary. Here comes Mary carrying something. Be careful who you relate with. You've got to be sure that you are relating with people that carry something. The Bible says when Mary showed up and greeted Elizabeth, the very minute Mary greeted Elizabeth, the Bible says the baby in her womb responded. He said, oh, I still got it. Somebody say, I've got the power. I can hear you say, I've got the power in the name that is above every name. Every dead dream, every dead expectation, every dead potential, come alive! Come alive! Come alive! Come alive! In the name of Jesus. There's so much power in the Holy Spirit. If you can just understand what you carry, I see power. powerful people being poor. Christians have power, yet they are poor. I call them powerful poor men. You've got so much power on the inside of you. The power you carry has the ability to turn things around. When you study the ministry of Jesus, you will realize that the Bible records three major people that Jesus brought back from the dead. But when you study it, you will get some revelation. The very first person that Jesus brought back from the dead was the daughter of Jairus. One day Jesus was busy doing ministry, and here comes Jairus. And Jairus walks up to Jesus and he said, "Excuse me, sir, my daughter is sick and she's almost dead." Now you see, I keep wondering, every time I read that story, normally it's the women that will go and seek for help, but now it's the man that is seeking for help. The man came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is sick. Can you please come and help my daughter?" When he came to Jesus, the daughter was sick, not dead. But when he finished speaking to Jesus, Jesus said, "No problem. Let's go to your house." As they were going to the house of Jesus, there was a woman with the issue of blood. The woman heard that Jesus was passing by, and she said in her heart, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." Now listen, let's see interplay of faith here right now. Now Jairus said, "You need to come to my house for my daughter to be healed." The woman said, "Even if you don't come to my house, I'm going to come into your presence. If I can just touch." Many of you, your faith is, "Pastor must come to my house. Pastor must call me." But who is pastor? He can pray, but only God can answer prayer. How come you are looking for pastor to visit you when the omnipresence of God is everywhere? Now, while Jesus was going, the woman touched the hem of his garment, and very flowed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples came to him and they said, "Everybody's touching you. How can you say somebody touched?" Jesus said, "There is a touch and there is a touch. Every other person was just touching, but this woman touched with faith." Now listen to me, people of God. If God does not touch you, touch God. There is a way you can touch God. You can touch God with your faith. You can touch God with your commitment. You can touch God with your seed. You can touch God with your worship. You can touch God with your prayer. There are seven ways to touch God. That's not my message today. But if God does not touch you, touch God. But you know what happened? By virtue of that woman's intervention, Jesus was delayed. And then all of a sudden, as they were about to go to the house of Jairus, they brought a new message. They said, "Excuse me, don't disturb him anymore. For your daughter is no more sick. Your daughter is now dead." I'm here to let you know, there are times when you bring your case to God and it gets worse. Sometimes it's got to get worse before it gets better. But we don't understand the power of God. So we keep complaining. After I prayed, things got worse. After I gave that offering, things got worse. If the devil does not react against you, it means that nothing is happening in your life. The reaction of the devil is a proof that you are doing something right. If you are going in the same direction with the devil, you will never bump into the devil. But if you are going in opposite direction, you will bump into adversity. The trouble in your life, it's a proof that you are doing something right. The crisis in your life is a proof that you are doing something right. Because the devil only fights what he fears. Somebody shout, "I've got the power." I can hear you shout, "I've got the power." Now, listen. You see, the amazing thing is that you are all saying, "Oh, that woman was the problem. She's the one that stopped Jesus. That girl will have been delivered." Excuse me. That girl is 12 years old. Read your Bible very well. The Bible says the woman had an issue of blood 12 years. So that simply means the very day the girl was born, the woman's problem started. 12 years of blood flowing out of one woman
while another child was growing up for 12 years. But the month cannot enter 13 months because after 12 months, a year is over. There is something about 12 in the name that is above every name. In the next 12 months, every evil flow must come to an end. In the next 12 months, every limitation must come to an end. I release resurrection power. I release resurrection power. I release resurrection power. I release resurrection power. Somebody said, I've got the power. So the case got worse after it was handed over to God. So sometimes you wonder, why is it that every time I pray, that's when trouble comes? When I don't pray, everything looks easy. Why is it that when I give that big offering, that's when trouble comes? It's because we are doing something right. Listen to me. Every flight without a turbulence is not a flight. The flight without a turbulence is not a flight. The plane does not experience turbulence when it is parked in the airport. The only way the plane will face turbulence is if it's going somewhere. Don't be a parked plane. Turbulence is part of the journey. You've got to move forward. So when trouble comes, keep pressing. When opposition comes, keep pressing. Why? Because you will get there. Somebody said, I've got the power. So Jesus arrives at the house. And then there are professional mourners. I know you don't understand that in America. But you see, in Africa, we've got people that are professional mourners. As a matter of fact, you pay them to cry. And there are different prices and different dimensions. There are people that are weepers. There are criers. And there are wailers. There are levels. So when Jesus got there, the Bible says that people were weeping. They were weeping. Read your Bible very well. They were weeping. Oh, this girl has died. But when Jesus came, Jesus said, this girl is not dead. She's only sleeping. And the Bible says, they laughed him to scorn. How can you move from serious cry to a serious laughter? It's business. They started laughing. Why? Because as far as they were concerned, you don't understand. But I love what Jesus did. When he got into the house, he sent everybody away. He said, get out of this place. I don't need faithless people around me. I don't need doubters around me. If you don't believe what God can do, I don't need you around me. He sent everybody away. And he took only people of faith. And he said, Talitha kumi, Tamsa, arise. Ikorigadu shada. I said something during the workers' line. Let me just say it here again. Listen and listen well. When the man left home, the girl was sick in the hand of the mother. But by the time the man came back, the girl was dead in the hand of the mother. If they put something in your hand, will it die? Or will it leave? When a department is handed over to you, will the department die? Or will the department leave? When a church is handed over to you, will it die? Or will it leave? When a house fellowship is handed over to you, will it die? Or will it leave? When that girl was raised from the dead, they said it was a lie. They said what? It was a lie. You know that when he came, he said she was sleeping. We thought she was dead. She just fainted. She was not dead. So Jesus was going all around looking for an opportunity to prove to them that it was the power of God that was at work. And then one day, someone say, one day Jesus was going. And as he was going, the Bible says, they got to the gate of a city called Nain. There was a widow of Nain. That woman was a widow. She's lost her husband. And let me tell you something, if you have known any widow, even those that are not widows, they have attachment to their children, that the husband has to be contending for space in their life. But the Bible says that this woman was a widow. And when a woman loses the husband. Okay, I know I've touched something. I know we are in church. I know it's Sunday morning. But before the babies came, I know what I had exclusive rights over. And when the babies came, we started contending. We started contending. And I began to wonder, who is the owner of this territory? So listen to me. So when a woman becomes a widow, she diverts all her emotion to her child. And then the devil says, okay, you still have something to rejoice
rejoicing over her, I will take this child also. Let me tell you something. The devil is a wicked devil. But every assignment of Satan, every assignment of hell over your life and against your destiny, I terminate them today. Jesus said it is finished. I declare it is finished. Your pain is finished. Your struggle is finished. Your shame is finished. Your disappointment is finished. Somebody shout, I've got the power. So this woman loses her son, and then they put the boy in a coffin, and now they carry the coffin on the way to the grave, on the way to the burial ground. And as they were coming, Jesus was coming from a meeting and going into the city for another meeting. You need to understand that when power jam power, lesser power must bow. When light and darkness comes together, darkness has got to bow, because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. So here comes Jesus going into the city, and here comes death coming out of the city. How can I claim that I'm bringing life if I pass by death and I don't bring death back? How can I claim that I'm bringing hope if I pass by trouble and allow the trouble to remain? So Jesus said, put down the coffin. There is no close case with God. My God is reopening that case to favor you. He's opening that chapter to favor you. He's turning things around to favor you. And Jesus said, weep not. Weep no more, because somebody has been weeping. You've been crying in the night. You smile in the open, but you are tired. You smile in the open, but you are frustrated. You smile in the open, but you are depressed. But he sent me to tell you, weep no more. So the Bible says, and Jesus laid his hands on the casket. When the hand of God comes upon your situation, it never remains the same. And he said, arise! Resurrection power went to work. This child came back to life. And the Bible says Jesus presented the boy to his mother. Ah, somebody's here. They are going to present your document to you. They are going to present your miracle to you. Man of God, I was ministering in Atlanta, and I was talking to them about the favor of God, and how the favor of God does wonders and does mysteries. And a couple came after the service. Said, sir, we don't understand. Our document has been there. You know, we've not even heard anything. Every time we call them, they keep saying they will get back to us. They keep saying, we don't know what's happening. I said, my sister, it is done. I said, there is no close case with God. I said, soon and very soon, you will hear from them. Do you know what happened? When we did that on Sunday, something happened. They called them 3 days later. And let me tell you what happened. On Monday, they got a memo that there was a general renovation that was going to take place in the office, and that they needed to move from the office where they were to a temporary office. And guess what? As they were moving from that office to a temporary office, what they did not tell them was the fact that they have lost their file. And they couldn't tell them, we don't have your file. So they keep telling them, we'll get back to you. We'll get back to you. But you know what happened? While they were arranging the files, their file fell and went to the back of the shelf. So all the while, their file was at the back of the shelf. But on Sunday, when power was released, when favor was released, by Monday, a memo came, move out of this office to a temporary office. By Tuesday, as they were moving the shelves, they saw their file at the back. By Wednesday, they called them. They said, all is done. And in less than 14 days, what they have been waiting for was delivered to them. Whatever you have been waiting for, I stand by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I declare, let it be released. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Now listen to me. The Jews, study your Bible very well. The Jews believe that when somebody dies, they can still come back to life within a few days. So within the first 3 days, they will say it's not really death, it was fainting. So when you study your Bible very well, you will realize that when they mourn, they have what we call the 3 days of mourning. And by the fourth day, they enter into what we call the season of wailing. It's when it enters day four, they know that the case is over. That's their belief. So when this boy came back to life, they said again, He was fainted. He fainted. He didn't die. So Jesus was waiting. I did the first one. They said she was sleeping. I did the second one. They said he fainted. I'm waiting for an opportunity to show them that it is not me, but his power that is at work. Then in John chapter 11, someone say John chapter 11. John chapter 11, they sent Jesus an email. He got an email. He got a text. He got a tweet from Mary and Martha. And they said, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. Hey! They said, this sick unto death. Jesus said, no. Is this sickness? It's not unto death. Day one, he refused to go. Day two, he refused to go. Day three, he refused to go. Mary was wondering, if you love me, you will have answered on time. I've emailed you since. I've tweeted you. You did not reply my tweet. But Jesus had the point to prove. Jesus wanted the case to become so bad. He wanted it to become so terrible. That when the miracle is done, they will know that this is the doing of the Lord. And it will be marvelous in their sight. What you are going through, God wants to make you a trophy. Your case has been so bad that everybody knows about it. When your testimony comes, America will share your testimony. Oh, somebody's under the sound of my voice. In the convention in June, they will share your testimony. In the anniversary in August in Nigeria, they will share your testimony. In the Congress in December, they will share your testimony. Baba will share your testimony. If you believe it, shout, I've got the power. So Jesus waited. We're still talking resurrection power. Jesus waited. And then by the time Jesus showed up, now the Bible says Mary, the worshiper, was already gutted. She's gotten hungry. She's gotten offended. How can God allow this to happen? I called him when my brother was sick. I sent him an email. He did not reply. Now he's coming. What is he coming to do? And when Martha came out, Martha said, oh, Jesus, welcome. But if you had come, past tense, my brother would not have died. He died because he refused to respond when we called. Jesus said, oh, don't worry. I'm here now. He will rise. He said, I know in the resurrection. Our faith could handle the past. Our faith could handle the future. If he's going to rise again in rapture, why can't he rapture now? If there is a power to make him to rise and rapture in the future, why can't that power move now? Then Jesus brought that revelation. He said, you don't understand. He said, even now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, even now, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He said, your brother shall live again. When Lazarus came back to life, every skeptic was silenced. But let me tell you something special as I begin to wrap it all over. Jesus Christ said, Lazarus! Comfort. But do you know what? Lazarus was not the only Lazarus in the Bible. There were many Lazaruses in the Bible. But when Jesus said Lazarus comfort, only one came. Because for every prophecy, there is a DNA. For every pronouncement, there is a DNA. Every other Lazarus could not hear it. So when I prophesy and you don't say amen, I don't worry. That's not your prophecy. But when the prophecy is your prophecy, when the word comes, you will scream, you will shout, you will jump, you will say amen. Because every prophecy has a DNA. And the proof that the prophecy belongs to you is your response to the prophecy. I stood upon the altar October few years back and I said under the anointing, there's somebody under the sound of my voice, your annual income will become your monthly income. While people were still trying to calculate annual income, monthly income, did pastor make a mistake? One sister said, amen! She was the only one. It's on video. She was in a church of 2,000 people. You know when only one person speaks with 2,000 quiet people, you will hear. Everybody kept quiet because they were trying to understand. The pastor missed it. Annual income, monthly income. In this country, does he know what he's talking about? The sister screamed. I said, that's it, my daughter, you receive it, it's done. She got to work on Monday. Nothing happened. On Tuesday, a colleague came to her and said, there's this job. Oh, I think you should apply because you are a first class student. It's people like you they are looking for.
Ah, he said, why can't you apply? I'm okay where I am. My salary is okay. He said, no, you need to apply. She took it. No, I'm not interested. Second week, the colleague came again. You need to apply for that job, but it's going to close very soon. Oh. She said, leave me. Did they drive me? Yeah, I'm doing well. They are paying me. I have a good job. She has forgotten the prophecy. She said, amen to. Because every time you do what you are supposed to do with a prophecy, whether you like it or not, it will be hanging on your head, waiting to happen. Because the Bible says, so shall my word be, that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void until it has accomplished what I sent it to do. By the third week, the colleague went to apply on her behalf. She didn't apply. Oh, true life story. Guess what? They called her for an interview. And coincidentally, as she was receiving the call, the colleague walked into her office. So he said, okay, he said, which job is that? From which girl? So the colleague had the name. He's like, I'm the one. Yeah, say yes, say yes, say yes. Say, which job? Interview? What? He said, it's okay. When? So she said, what are you talking about? He said, ah, that job now. He said, but I didn't apply. He said, I applied for it. He said, who sent you? She was angry with the colleague, but not knowing that God had to fulfill that prophecy. Because she did the right thing, and the DNA didn't rest on her. So there was a signature on her head. Read your Bible very well. Apostle Paul was carrying a mark on his head that everywhere he went to, people must trouble him. He carried an invisible mark. Listen to me. There are marks of favor. There are marks of disfavor. When you carry a prophetic mark, nobody will see it, but people that will bless you will see it. It's not about your qualification. Now, this lady, to cut a long story short, was invited for an interview only to get her to discover it was a global interview. People were doing the same interview, London, New York, all over. It was it's major. And guess what? Out of everybody all over the world, she was the only one they chose. Do you know what happened? The day she went to collect the employment letter, because as far as she's concerned, I have a good job already. So this one you're talking about, I'm talking Chevron, so it's not any global. Now, this lady went to collect the letter, and then she just collected and she was going. And he says, ah, you are not even happy. And she was like, no, I'm okay. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, what do we say? You don't understand. She said, we are grateful that the person that got this job is a Nigerian, not an expatriate, that you have made us proud. She said, what do you mean? He said, you don't understand. He said, this job, no Nigerian has ever sat on this position before. He said, this is the first time they said, let us include Nigerians in the interview. He said, and they were already waiting and hoping that it's based. He said, so you beat everybody hands down. He said, you don't know what you have done. You don't know the job you have gotten. She couldn't understand. By the time she got into the car and opened the letter, her annual income to the cobo was the monthly income she would be getting. It was then she understood what God has done. She picked the phone and called. I said, Daddy, I said, what? What is the problem? He said, I said, what? She couldn't even tell me. I was thinking it's trouble. So I started calling people. Hey, pray, where is? I thought it was trouble because I didn't even hear. I was saying, oh, my daddy, the phone, the drop of the hand. In the name that is above every name, I'm telling you, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they will share your testimony all over this country. Daddy Adeboye will share your testimony. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you live in shadow. Let me close. Ezekiel 37. Son of man. Can this bone live? But you see, before we go there, let me help you understand something. Because I like to bring people to a high level of maturity in God. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord took me. Not the spirit of the devil. The Spirit of the Lord took me into a valley. Hello? The Spirit of the Lord took me into where? When God leads you, is he supposed to lead you into valleys? But you see, when God leads you into a valley, because something is about to happen. He said, the Spirit of the Lord led me into a valley. That's level one. The valley was full of bones, level two. And the bones were very dry, level three. I've known my brother for close to 20 years. I know the great things that God was doing in his life in the UK before he moved there. And when he told me, was, I said, I'm coming to visit you. He said, ah, nobody's looking. I said, I will come. I can't abandon you where you are. When I got here, and he started telling me, I said, don't worry. God sent you here. He said, sometimes I'm wondering, did guy really hear God to come here? If I'm in Dallas or I'm in another big city, I said, God sent you here. I said, let me tell you something. You need to understand that there are always other people on the other side of your obedience. There are people on the other side of your obedience waiting, wishing that God will send somebody. I say, just obey. Now, when the Spirit of God leads you into a valley, it's because it's about to do a major miracle in your life. That's why we call him the lily of the valleys. The Bible says, God now asks him a question. Son of man, can this bone live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. When God asks you a question, it's not because God is ignorant. When God asks you a question, it's because he wants to reveal something to you that you don't understand. He said, son of man, can this bone live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. So, listen to me. When he said, God, you are the one that knows, he was expecting God to do something about it. But God turned the coin around and he said, son of man, prophesy. You know why? God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think, according to the power that is at work on the inside of you. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you, that same spirit. So God did not come down to raise the dry bone. God said, open your mouth, prophesy to the bone. And as he began to prophesy, the bones began to locate themselves. He said, prophesy to the wind. Things began to happen. People of God, rise up on your feet and begin to prophesy. Open your mouth and begin to prophesy. Now begin to prophesy. Resurrection power. Speak over your marriage. Speak over your career. Speak over your ministry. Open your mouth and prophesy. And prophesy, prophesy, dry bones, live again, dry bones, live again.